Yeah, I mean, we got used to it. You just did. You didn't have much choice really, but other than to
Hey,
what was going on.
self look
Hey,
prepared, make myself look pretty. You know, I
yeah.
mean, you know, I've got competition tonight. Look at
Well, yeah. What can I say?
Well, I mean, this is just going to be easier to hurl abuse. I mean, to be supportive without being in the
I'm taking
audience.
none of it. You can
You know?
hurl the abuse. I'm not taking it.
We've just been
I'll
talking
just
about
take
a
it
movie,
back.
black and
I'll
white
get me
TV.
caught. Sorry?
We've just been talking about black and white TV.
Oh, we like a black and white
And
TV.
snooker.
Yes.
Snooker on a black and white TV.
My nan absolutely loved it, Dale. She could tell you it didn't matter how far the balls had been smacked, she knew what color was what. We just used to sit there gobsmacked. We had no idea.
I want to dwell on the opportunity to discuss your gran being admiring of balls and understanding how far she had
Well,
to
she didn't go into details and explain that to us, but you
smack them. We had a 12-inch rotary black and white in the bedroom as kids. That was what ZX81 was on.
Oh, right, yeah.
And you had two. We had what, three channels at the time?
Oh yes, three. The three. There was the one, the two, and the ITV.
I mean, and eventually you get channel four kind of thing, but hey.
And at the end of the day, they stopped. Not like they do now. They run all through. But the only one that was the exception to that was, yeah. The exception though was BBC Two because, and now it's the Open University.
I used to love
What?
that. You used to love Open University. Normally for me, it would be kind of sort of Saturday morning. I'd get up early on Saturday morning, yeah, like 6 o'clock, and I'd be watching some of the stuff on then. There was some good stuff.
We knew we'd stopped up too late. If the Open University come on, it was like, it's time for bed. This is over my head.
They made brilliant programs. They really did. I
Yes,
mean, they still do, but yeah,
but the problem was it wasn't comedy. I mean, after you just had the young ones on and things like that, it was like, no, please, no, not the Open University.
I learned one of the best piece of advice I ever got from the Open University. With the pipe and the beard and the elbow patches. We're talking about VDU displays and how to look after your eyes, kind of thing. You know what I mean? At 54, I retain 20/20 vision, and I have no carpal tunnel syndrome, and arguably one of the most aggressive typers that anyone would know. You know, so. So far, so good. It's not done anything for my sanity, mind you. I mean, there was nothing fucking involved in that. I mean, it was, kind of thing. I'm now trying to look like these guys that were on that show. I need the pipe, kind of thing. You know, you definitely need a
You just
pipe.
get the elbow patches. That's my
I've
one
got to get
regret
the elbow
in
patches.
career.
That's it. You know,
Yeah.
as a teacher, you should have. Oh, you were in the wrong one. You were a physics guy. You should have been a geography guy that had
Oh no, listen, I don't have
the
many people teachers with patches. I had a corduroy jacket, a fine Italian
Good
cord,
Lord.
but I had a
Tell
corduroy
me you had a
jacket.
2CV. Tell me you had a 2CV.
I wish.
No,
Yeah.
no.
And I had, but I never had
You
elbow patches.
did,
I never
didn't
had
you?
a
You had a
tweed jacket either.
2CV.
I once had a great conversation with a crash investigator. He came into school. They used to do a once I taught at, they used to have a regular program for the sixth formers where they had various people coming in talking about kind of sort of driving and driving safety. And so they'd be like, police officers. They had people talking about kind of sort of licensing and things like that, drink driving. So they had somebody represented from a charity that got involved with that. And then one of the guys that, so over the course of something like 6 or 8 weeks, the kids would rotate around each of these speakers. And one of them was an ex-rugby wrote RTI or RTA Crash Investigator. So I had, after the sort of talk that I'd kind of been watching, had then had a quite a lengthy conversation with him about the physics of crash investigations. And we had part of the conversation actually sort of delved into kind of actually how a 2CV could corner just as fast as a Porsche.
Well, it was the egg box car, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was the egg box car to get those eggs safely from the farm to the market going over all terrain. And I look at them now and I just go, that's an environmental catastrophe of a car. But anyway.
I'll apologize now, but what Jamie put in just had me thinking of a different sort of channel after everything shut down. He says, what was the channel that the girl was on that was on after all the other programs went off air? I think that was Babe Station, mate.
Yeah, I know the one he's on about. Are you on about the one with the Humpty Dumpty and the clown?
Oh, yeah.
If you sat there going, ooh, for hours, it wasn't a singing channel, trust me.
That was a bit psycho, that test card, wasn't it?
It's a brilliant test card, so they should bring it back. In fact, they should shut down BBC at night. I think that's probably a good idea.
I think
of course, it all changed when Channel 4 started, of course, then.
Yeah, and it became a downside more risque as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Channel 4 was good for kind of, getting home from a pub at kind of, 11:30 at night, when pubs closed at 11. And then kind of, having had a pint or five and, some dodgy pizza or something, and then kind of, turning on, what was it called? The Tube and then Eurotrash and
some fantastic comedy in there. We get Who Dares Wins, we had Nightingales, there was some fantastic early greats. The Channel 4 came on, Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer and Big Night Out. Some amazing stuff.
I mean, when you look at the programming from that time, it all did it, everything kind of changed. Obviously, we'd had the Young Ones slightly earlier than that. I think that was kind of around the same sort of time. But then we ended up with the likes of OTT and things like that, which was just Saturday morning's Tiswas that had just been put into an adult stream sort of thing. And I still miss, I think that was hilarious when they decided to play that game where, they had to take an item of clothing off and you knew what was going to happen. And at some point, there was a lady there who just did, and it was like, no, but they made it at the top off, and bang. How they got away with that at that point, I do not know. But formative years of the youth, Dale, isn't it?
Just terrible, man. It's just, I'm currently loitering around so like 19, between 1980 and 1984 in my head, kind of thing. Good Lord.
Well, with your new Spectra on the way, that's very much.
Oh, the next, yes, yes. But I'll wax lyrical about that next week. the big question is has Huey finally put a door on the Hobbit House inside his workshop? I mean, that is the question that everyone's waiting to ask.
There is a door on it. Really? The only trouble is, there's a bandsaw now in front of it, which means I can't open the door at the minute. But yeah, I just hope nothing happens to the computer that's living in there.
What about the press? Yes, sitting behind the door.
I actually did get a picture of Precious when he was down here standing by the door.
Uh-huh.
All right, it might have been Photoshop, but who cares?
Make it round. Make the door round. Go all in. Make the door round. Go have a video in that.
If it were left to me, I'd have put it at the other side, but I can't because of the way the lintels are set up. And it was like, it would have been a marathon job to do it. And I wasn't prepared to do it. So I went, I'm going to have to crouch to get in.
The other thing you have to do is explain the word that's on your T-shirt.
You mean the shugism?
Yes, sir. You have to explain to the viewers what a shugism is.
And the listeners.
Shugism. It's the delicate art of explaining the blatantly obvious joke. So you know that you've always got that one person, haven't you, that starts telling you, well, that actually means, but you already knew it. That's a shugism for you.
So what he's saying, Andy, is that what a shugism is.
He's got it. He's going to explain it for you.
How did that come about? How did shugism come about? What was the lead into that? Because that didn't happen just out of thin air.
Well, the shug thing came about, didn't it? Because obviously, as you lot pointed out, a lot of Hueys in Scotland are called shug. It's just a colloquial thing or whatever you want to call it. But shuggies, I'm not really sure how it came. It must have been me explaining the joke. And somebody decided it was a shuggism. And the next thing, it was actually JP who came across the logo for a famous adult site. Okay. which you can put any words into it. It's shuggle. You can put any words at all that you like into it. So, of course, what he did was he said, that would be really good for this. And the next thing I know, I got this picture through of shuggism, and I went, that'd be great on a T-shirt. So that's where we went with it. We both concurred it would be hilarious to put on a T-shirt, and I did. And I was quite surprised that a few people actually bought them. I was like, oh, I just thought it'd be good for me. But, oh, well. The funny looks you get there when you're in the supermarket. Yeah. The funny looks you get though in the supermarket, and you know that they know where the logo has been stolen from.
I mean, I hadn't made the connection, you know. I mean, have now though, dear Lord. I mean,
yes, yes. Yeah. You got to keep it classy though.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Of course, always. You always got to keep it classy.
I mean, but that's what people keep saying to me. Keep it classy is. As though I'm going to take it under, you know, there's a bar. I've been known to limbo.
Mr. Page is saying that he wore that shirt in Asda, and some bloke looked at him with a double take and said, oh, yeah. I mean, he says, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know. Yes. It's certainly a bit funny because it's happened to me a couple of times now. When he first told me that happened to him, because he'd bought one of them. When he told me it happened to him, I was like, oh, that'd be hilarious. But actually, when it does happen, you don't realize just how hilarious until you see somebody looking like this and then nudging whoever's next to him and going, yeah.
Do you think he cares that means?
Yeah.
You think he knows?
That logo looks. That logo looks a bit.
Can you know?
Just. Yeah. I mean, the only thing that could possibly be different or worse than that possibly is somebody coming up to you, go, I know you from somewhere, or you're seeing somebody and kind of going, have I seen you on TV?
Yeah.
Go, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Looks like you and goes, oh yeah, I've seen you in some shorts. Well, yes.
I can assure you haven't.
Well, Mr. Matthews is starting to offer suggestions of alternatives.
Yeah, so which bit do you change? Yeah.
Mm.
Red shug?
Mm.
Or shug tube?
Shug tube. Oh, yeah, shug tube. That could work. Right. On the lookout for that logo tomorrow.
Yeah, you'd have to match the font. If you don't, you could match the font to kind of YouTube, couldn't you? And then it would be one thing. So you could have, one on the front, one on the back.
Yes. A bit like that. You remember the shirt that used to say, the women used to wear, and it used to say, looking for a man. And then on the back it said, but not you. I think it was a margarine
advert. Of that one, but yeah.
Oh, Dale, I would have thought you would have seen that one. I'm sure it was about 1980s. There was a something like a Flora advert with it on.
Oh, no,
I will dig it out.
That age kind of thing, it was all Danger Mouse and Spectrums. I mean, that was about that. You know, you've got to get your priorities right. Yeah. But I guess though, you've been in the community for absolutely ages. I'm going to be dead serious for a second. I'm going to ask you a proper question. Look at this. You've been in the community for years, and you've kind of dabbled in metalwork, and you've dabbled in various things. What's driving the making now? What's the big, big sort of push just now? It's a proper question and everything.
I don't know if there is just a drive or anything like that. I think it's just curiosity, because
is that to see what the floor looks like?
He went there. He went. There's a bar, and I'm not that good at windowing.
No, but please go on. Curiosity.
I don't know. I think it's more curiosity than anything. I think I just enjoy trying something different, and then obviously expanding on those things. I mean, the wood turning thing was a complete accident. That was never supposed to happen. I was looking for a metal lathe when that happened. And you know, when you get an idea in your head and you start planning it out what you're going to do. And I was looking on eBay for lathes, metal lathes, and somebody had listed it completely incorrectly. There was a record power lathe on there, little old DML, and it was at like 50 quid, £57 or something silly like that. So out of curiosity, I just thought, I wonder what that ends up going for. Maybe I could convert it and put some kind of rudimentary slide on it or something like that. And nobody looked at it because it was in the wrong, listed wrong and everything, and it ended up going for 57 quid. 15 minutes beforehand, because you're watching it, eBay says, don't forget, you're watching this. Are you interested? And I went on there, and I'm sat there, and I'm thinking, it ain't going to sell. Oh, okay, then. 20 seconds left. I just went, I'll buy it for the £57 and got it. And I was even more shocked when we went and picked it up and everything worked and that. And I thought, let's give it a quick go. No gouges, no nothing. So I've got a chisel out. Wood turners would honest, they'd have strung me up. And I'm there, and I've got a piece of softwood on there, and I'm just, turned a rough bowl with this chisel, took it in the house, and probably went, what, you just done that? Yeah, I have. I'm going to do it again. And so I went and bought some cheap gouges, and it just went on from there. But it was just a curiosity thing, and I think that's what most of it is with me. So God knows what's next.
Miles' memory of you is a review of a bandsaw. I think it was that Parkside or some sort?
The Aldi one, the little Aldi one. Yeah, fantastic that was.
That was one of my earliest memories of you doing a video. I mean, that's back in the day. You still get, do they still do them? I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
No. No, they changed to the Ferex one, and very rarely do you see the Ferex ones in store.
Yeah.
And now they've stopped the mail order ordering from Aldi. It's going to be a lot more difficult to get these. Yes, it stopped about a month and a half ago, about six or 8 weeks ago now, Andy.
Oh, flipping it!
I mean, yeah.
Yep. So now you only get in store. You can't go online and order their tools and things like that, because that's what I did before. I'd been on and found stuff on there. But the bandsaw was a complete accident, because it was in Aldi. Me and Callum dropped into Aldi on the way back, the usual. Get some bread and milk on your way back. And okay. And there was just two left at that point, two bandsaws sitting on a pallet. And it said, this work zone bandsaw, $29.99. And I went, no. So we picked it up, took it to the counter, and I said, if it's more than that, I ain't buying it, because we ain't got the money. And the woman said, no, it's $29.99. And I went, oh, okay, right, we'll have it. Took it, put it in the cart. The next day, the amount of people who said to me, I would have had one of them. I went back to get the other one. That was gone.
Yeah.
I mean, they were normally like 80 quid.
But you didn't when I had one, I paid 80 quid, and I had it through the mail order. That's how I got mine. Because I could never find one in store. It was never available when I went in. Even though it was kind of scheduled to be. So I ended up holding one mail order, and because it was over 75 quid or something, it was free delivery. It was just like, came 2 days later. And for the for a second bandsaw, because my first one was an old Black & Decker three-wheel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
70s, which was missing the lower guide bearings. So I kept snapping blades and kind of didn't work out initially why I kept snapping blades. And, yeah, as a second bandsaw, it was brilliant. Yeah, and I sold it earlier this year to a friend of mine. Yeah, he had it for 25 quid. And for him, it's first bandsaw. Yeah, and it's just like for what he's doing at the moment, it's ideal. I'm sure he'll upgrade at some point in the future.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I sold it on with all the blades and everything, and the guy was over the moon with it. He couldn't believe it. You know, it was a total bargain to him. And I'm just thinking, well, I've just had that saw for 4 years or whatever, completely free. It's not cost me a penny other than the replacement blades.
Yeah.
He's quite happy. I moved on to a lumberjack one, and then earlier this year, I swapped the lumberjack out for what's the blue one, Dale, you had?
The blue one, what band? Oh, Charnwood.
Blue Charnwood. I swapped it for a Charnwood. And yeah, only because I realized I'd got more space than I thought I had. I thought the 10-inch bandsaw was a heck of a lot smaller than the 12, but it's theoretically, it's not that much smaller. So,
However, you might need to explain Mr. Matthew's comment where he says, but Huey, you can't beat a £3.50 angle grinder.
And he's absolutely right. Aldi, font of all tools, walked into Aldi, and you just don't believe what you see. Walked in there, they've got these little angle grinders, the battery cordless ones, at the front of the store, right by the checkout, in a clearance bin. And was it £3.50? I can't remember if it was that or even cheaper. But I went, that can't be right. So said to the assistant there, I said, is that right? She said, yes, but there's only them two. I went, not now, there ain't. I got home fully expecting them to be something wrong with them, stuff missing. Boxes were still sealed. They were still intact. Opened them up, ordered the batteries offline because you could never get them in store. Put them in the charger. Well, went to put them in the charger and they were fully charged. Fired them up, and I'm still using them at the minute. I'm sort of using them as a long-term thing, avoiding the other grinders at the minute to see how good they are. But so far, they've done everything I've thrown at them. Surprise me.
Is it the small one?
No, it's a full-size angle grinder. Full-size angle grinder, battery one. And the batteries you have to buy separately.
Yeah.
The charger you have to buy. The charger's something like 15 quid.
Yeah.
And the batteries, I think, are about either 25 or 27 pound.
They have a couple of different sizes, haven't they? As most battery things do. But they're less than like 40 quid for the biggest one they do.
Yeah. And they're absolutely cracking. I've really put them to task, cutting down steel box section, flat steel, 6mm. It's gone through them all. So I'm quite happy with them at the minute.
I think at this point it's a good opportunity to kind of, you know, segue into something else. I mean, Mr. Page has already kind of raised the principle of this, but I was holding off till later. So did you use these grinders by any chance to cut any Toblerones up? And if so, is any of them coconut?
I'll let you know what coconut Toblerone tastes when Polly finally gets me one that she doesn't eat before I get it. I mean, why on earth does everybody think I've got a thing about Toblerone? I just don't understand it.
I mean, it's you know. So how many strange things have you cut? I mean, used to cut up a Toblerone? I mean, I've seen a few videos. If anyone hasn't, they need to check you out on various places. But please,
and there's still some left to go. But I've used an Aldi multi-tool. I've used a bandsaw. The bandsaw was fun, and that was the first one I did with it. And when you go in the workshop the next day, you can still smell the chocolate, and it's a little bit makes you want to eat it. But anyway, I did that. I did an Irwin jacksaw, But I left the foil on. And if you ever decide to do that, take the foil off because it's like nails down a blackboard.
I'm just speculating in the likelihood of doing that now. Is there a strange TikTok video of you licking your bandsaw kind of thing because of the slight aftermath of chocolate?
No, definitely not. See aforementioned red tube. Anyway.
I was going to say, is this all junk on TikTok? This is a junk tube. YouTube shorts or Instagram on this.
There's some on Instagram. There's some on Instagram. Anyway, there is some on shorts. There is definitely some on TikTok. I don't use TikTok that much. I keep forgetting, basically, is the problem with that. But yeah, I'm just going to go through and cut them all up. And then eventually I'll do a compilation of all of them together, I think. Should be about a 5-minute video, if that.
You should definitely do a Q&A for Toblerone antics sort of thing. There's lots of people with things to say. You know, young Scott from the Blue Light Turner says, did you ever finish the 50 ways? You know, no. AJK is saying, you know, he's led to believe that coconut Toblerone tastes rather nice.
Yes, but he's also mentioning the other bandsaw antics, which was a cheese sandwich on the bandsaw.
Uh-huh.
But what the clever editing there doesn't show you is the first time I tried to cut the cheese section of the cheese sandwich on a bandsaw, it actually threw the blade off.
Really?
I put it on just expecting it to be easy to cut cheese, but what it does is it binds really quickly and it just literally bound the blade up. And the next thing I know, it went dink, and the thing was still running, but obviously the blade had stopped dead and had popped out. And it was,
what were you doing, cutting a 14 inch baby bell or something like that? I mean, what the heck?
I was gonna say, what sort of cheese was it?
It was about that big by yay square, yeah, and it was. Yeah. A full-size sort of catering size block. I weren't going to put my hands anywhere near it with a little block you get from Aldi, if you know what I'm saying. No way.
Oh, that'll be fine. Bandsaw's quite safe. Someone can put your finger in front of it.
Well, that's the thing. I wanted my hand as far away from it as possible. I wanted to go and to get some bread for it, and Kaylee volunteered to bake a loaf. She'd never baked bread before in her life, and I thought, okay,
you're
well,
Kaylee for this, are you?
No, she did it because I wanted to do an extreme sandwich on the bandsaw. So she made this loaf of bread, and then we cut it into it. At that point, I hadn't even tasted bread, and I thought, I'm going to have to smile for the camera if it tastes foil. But no, it was fantastic. She did really well. So she's done a couple more since then. Nice. She seems to be getting into baking as well.
It's a life skill worth having. Definitely is. You know, you can do what you can do then is turn up at maker events kind of thing and bribe people with Welsh capes. Actually, no, that wasn't.
That niche is taken.
Yeah, I mean, what person would do that?
They've got to have some sort of Welsh ancestry, clearly, to be able to get on, over the line. But I mean, as you walk around your workshop, right? I mean, you know, I mean, I think everybody knows there's some straight. Yeah, well, I mean, can I, you know, I mean, shimmy up and down your workshop. I mean, is there any weird names you give your tools?
Not that I can repeat on here.
Is there any indications you could give us to so like lead us into the lightest and easiest?
Three pound sledgehammer. That's got a name.
Your fingers not that big, mate. It doesn't look like it weighs 3 pounds.
It looked about the size of 3 pounds by the time it finished swelling that day, I'll tell you.
Ooh.
Just literally.
Why would you hit your finger with a 3 pound sledgehammer?
It actually happened at work. I was ball joint splitting, you know, the type, the tuning fork type ball joint splitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was in a very tight space working the wrong way around, using a hammer that isn't normally mine because I'd, funnily enough, broken my hammer. And my oppo aunt said to me, he said, here, here's a hammer you can use. And he gave me this 3-pound sledgehammer a couple of days earlier. So I was trying to get in this tight space like this, and as I'm trying to whack it, I mishit it. It sent the ball joint splitter directly into the hub of the car, and at the same time as it did, it ran the hammer straight down the side, and I got trapped between the two. And the next thing I know, it was lots of expletives. So that hammer got...
So what you're saying is that the there's more than just the wall. The decor is blue in your workshop sometimes. It includes the air.
That's my favourite colour.
And there's a various comments out in the chat that are suggesting that your workshop is either diminutive or busy. I feel with Mr. Gilbert suggesting that he could only get one of his ample boats, I mean feet, into your workshop.
He can actually speak from experience. He has put he actually put both feet in there. Really? I'm pretty sure he got both feet in.
Really?
Good. Wow. Along with that day there was Clive was there. Ooh. Phil was there, Phil Halliday.
Does Phil have the headroom? I mean, Phil's quite, I mean, you and I are quite, and he's quite, you know, I mean, was there a knockage going on?
He's fine. The vast majority of it is the standard sort of 8-footish, so he was fine in that respect. However, because I wanted an air filter in there, a blue one, that's a shade lower. So you do have to duck through there, but...
Bang. Fucker. The electronic scrapper would suggest that you repair cars like he does.
Yes. Yes, with a hammer. Fix it. Bash it. I like Lucas.
Let's go on. The headroom things are a thing. Neil from NMB Woodworks came past my place June time, just before the summer. I popped in, and he's a good sort of 6'4".
Selfishly tall.
Go into the tinkerage. It's like, yeah, I mean, he's not a skinny rake. So yeah, the tinkerage was a little bit less. So he got into the tinkerage, but there was only one spot he could actually stand upright in it. Oh. Yeah, because I've got a lot of stuff stuck to the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, don't move from that position. Yeah, duck to walk in, because the door's only, I think the door is 6'2", and there's a shelf right behind the door. It's almost like a mini tunnel. And then there's kind of...
Got to put a tub of whitewash on top of that for somebody that's a bit too tall.
Yeah. Comedy effect.
Yeah, whitewash might be better than the machete that's currently sitting there. Yeah.
Actually, now I'm a bit worried.
Well, yeah, you could have at least one sort of defensible weapon near the your door, don't you? It's like, I'm not saying how many there are, but yeah.
Yes, you definitely do. I feel I've got a roll of bin bags beside my door on the way in, kind of thing. I'm not sure how that works out.
Suffocate
very, very handy if you get a polytechnic fashion class come in. I think that's what that'd be useful for. But other than that, I think I'm in trouble.
Well, I've got the bags. Don't get me wrong. I've got the bin liners and all the rest of it are there. But it's just such, it's such a palaver. It's like, I'm going to clean all this floor. I'm going to dirty it again in a minute. I'll just leave it there and stand on it. I'm taking my leave from Wayne Clasper, I'm telling you. And I'll get taller each time as well. It'll make the lathe easier to use, allegedly.
I had a wood turning lesson February time, and the guy who I went to his workshop, and it was a good sized workshop, but there was hardly, I think there was about 6 square feet of space that you could actually stand in, because the amount of tools and the amount of sawdust on the kind of the floor at one point he was demonstrating something, and he dropped it was either a chuck or something, and it literally just disappeared into this pile of wood chipping. It must have been about 15 inches deep behind his lathe.
there's lost tribes of beginner wood turners kind of lost inside all that shavings kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's just,
the where are we tribe? Jump up and down going, where are we? Where are we?
Come out every now and again with a blunt bull gouge going on, you know. there's some questions regarding do you have a Hoover, young Huey?
He knows I've got a Hoover, and he knows, and I know why he's asked it. Uh-huh. It's an Aldi Hoover.
Oh.
And it's still in the box. It's it's about to celebrate its third birthday. Oh, he wounds me. The man wounds.
You know, there's what was.
That's why I have two of most tools now, though. If I drop them on the floor, I'll just use the other one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you have one that you use and you have the other one kept in the box, pristine, like people used to do with matches.
There is one that's out and about, but that one's well past its sell-by date. It does what it needs to do, but it's well past its sell-by date. And to be fair, it takes forever to use it. So I bought the new one, and it had a power takeoff with the plan of obviously connecting it to the lathe or the bandsaw, plug it in there, and obviously it could do the extraction. But that requires effort, and it requires getting space sorted in the first place. Well, every time you waste a day and a half tidying up, you don't get a project done. And at the minute, that's kind of on the back burner. Well, I'm only getting a little bit of time in the workshop, so I make the most of it. Get in there and make something. Then next year we'll think about it.
But over the last like 3-4 years, if you were to sort of single out like your favorite project that you've done, right? I mean, because everybody has one. Everybody has that thing you think, yeah, I like that. I enjoyed that. Or, you know, what would it be? I mean, because you've done a lot of sort of cool stuff. What would it be?
I think I'm gonna take the safe answer here and say it'd be my copperfish. Yeah. I think that was kind of the strangest. It came about through a bit of a joke anyway. The live stream that we very occasionally do has a few scrappers and fabricators and just people from a few different walks of life. And we decided to put a challenge out there and just say, make a fish. That's it. No. You know, no, it's got to be metal, it's got to be wood, it's got to be, no, none of that, just, it's, you know, make a fish. And some of us loved it, some of us hated it. I absolutely loved it. And the guy whose idea it was for the fish was Ian Matthews, who was in earlier. And he'd given me this piece of copper from a tank that he cut out and straightened out with the idea of using it at some point. And then he just sent it to me and said, you know, you'll be able to make some out of this. I sat on it for a few months, and then this challenge came up, and I just thought, wouldn't it be, a nice thing to make the fish out of his bit of copper? But it kind of went a lot. I had a lot more fun using that copper and using it in a way. Normally, all I'd ever done before was kind of solder some pipes together and things. But this was, you know, something different, and it was using the solder in different ways and kind of making ways with brake pipe, etc., to rivet the two together. And it just turned out far better than I expected it to. And it looked nothing like the initial. I don't do drawings very often, but I did a quick drawing of this is what I want to, you know, want to get from it. And it didn't end up looking anything like that. It just kind of took on a life of its own right from the get-go. And I loved that one. I would definitely at some point make something else out of copper, but I don't think I'd revisit the fish because I don't think I'd do it justice again now. I've got two more of those that are partially done that I'm going to do different things with that they're already planned out. They're in a box and when the time's right and I've got all the stuff, I'll carry on with them. But I think I'd like to try something else with copper at some point because it's a lovely material to work with.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
You're on another couple of YouTube sort of extravaganzas. There's, you know, I mean, there's Battle of the Makers, and then there's that show where you and a number of other, you know, I mean, chaps, you know, do you want to share with some folks about this other show?
If you're incredibly broad-minded and not easily offended, very occasionally, very, very occasionally, they're not planned, they never are planned, we may do a Friday Night Live where it's just basically what we normally have a chat on a Friday evening, a hangout, and we just kind of, you know, rib each other relentlessly. And, yeah, we sometimes go live with it, and it gets close to the knuckle. In fact, you couldn't monetize it even if you wanted to. But it's a lot of fun. It's definitely a lot of fun.
Is it got a name that people could track down, or is there a channel it lives on?
No, it now lives in my channel because, I mean, we have a Canadian in it, a German in it, a Wiganer. They claim they're English, but he's a Wiganer. Let's be honest. and myself. Very occasionally, we have a Welsh giant come in as well. But we just, you know, we bring people up. We'll, you know, people will want to come in, so we'll put a link out. And then we just bring them up one at a time, drop them into the chat for a little bit, and then swap them out with somebody else when someone else wants to come up. And it's just a bit of a giggle because you can have a chat with people that you wouldn't ordinarily chat with about all sorts of things. It usually ends up, like I say, it's just a free-for-all, everybody, you know, taking the Michael out of each other a bit. But it's a good giggle.
And
what's the... back slightly, Scott's made a suggestion about possibly a Charlie Chaplin out of copper.
I'm not telling them, Scott.
Oh, it sounds like there's a bit of a story there then. Yeah,
there's a story there, but we won't be going into that one.
I've just joined the dots on that.
you two can tell me about that in the after show.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely an after show moment.
I want to send the question you gave to Huey there.
Yeah, lovely little scrotal picture.
What's your favorite project from the last few years? I know you've been really busy with the house and the land up there. But yeah,
that's a tough one. I think the skull. I think the most recent one in the last few years has probably been the skull. You know, which was texture mapped, a texture map, concentric circles over the top of a skull and then cut. That was quite funky. That was a whole tech fest sort of nerd gasm kind of thing going on. It turned out all right. So that's all right. The trouble is it's mostly hitting shit with hammers or humping stuff or doing geeky techie stuff. So it's like I don't get enough time in the workshop other than to hit stuff with hammers. Don't even have a lathe at the minute.
But to be fair though, Dale, that workshop's worked out nicely.
That's all right. Building workshops is all right, you know. Yeah, but yeah. So no, yeah. Very little making in the classical sense, but lots of making in the building houses and project managing and all that kind of stuff, and putting up walls and clearing stonework and bedlam.
That's life, and that'll get done, and then you'll be able to get back to.
Well, that's how I got into making the first time round. I built a house down in Surrey, and then it was like, oh, shit, I've got these tools. What the heck am I going to do with that? Got to do something, though. Can't give them all away.
You buy something out of necessity, and then it becomes a bit of fun on the side.
Bought a lathe to make some stuff round kind of thing. That's how that started. Go figure.
I still remember that because you had the axeman, didn't you?
I do.
I remember you having the axe.
WC-1000 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the days. End of the days kind of thing. But the thing made such a terrible racket and the banjo didn't work.
I'm quite fortunate with that one that I had. The banjo was, but it was a lot older. It was the Perform. The banjo was great. And it once I'd changed all them bearings, because I think whoever had done the bearings initially, hadn't done the one for the speed selector as well.
You rebuilt one, didn't you, from scratch? Tell us that story.
That was an accident again. Keeping an eye out in the local area for a bigger lathe by then, something I could turn outboard on. And this one came up, and then I thought, oh, that's too good, to miss £100. But then when I found out where it was, it for some reason, instead of being 15 miles away, which was my search area, it was in Cornwall. So I messaged Mark.
And just for the benefit of the listeners, who people who maybe are not familiar with you, you live right bang in the Midlands.
Yes, I live in Hobbitshire. I'm in the Midlands. Yeah,
yeah, which is, in American terms, not very far from Cornwall, but in UK terms, it's blooming long drive.
Yeah. In UK terms, it was over 4 hours straight drive, which.
And that's a good day without any dodgy traffic on the M5. Yeah,
which is a little bit eye-opening. In fact, it was nearly 5 hours, because when you get off the motorway, you still got nearly an hour. I think it was about 40 minutes before you even get to Bude. But for somebody who was only really sort of getting to grips with the sleep apnea machine,
yeah, it was a fair track.
My wife was panicking because I'd never taken a drive of that distance since I'd been diagnosed. And she was, you've got to take your machine. You've got to take your machine. And Callum was coming with me. Callum's going with you.
You're in the car going, use the force, Callum.
Use the force. And she's going, if he's tired, you're going to have to stop somewhere. And Mark's going, oh, you can stop here. And I'm like, no, I'm going there and I'm coming back today. Pauline's going, you won't do that. And I did, sure enough. I got down there, spent, an hour or so down there, picked up this lathe, which was a complete basket case. They'd had a go at making it move, not realizing that you can't change gear without it being running. And they'd bust all the pulleys to pieces. The people who got it didn't know what they'd got, basically. They bought the house, and it was sat there, this sort of rusty lump. So they decided they were going to have a play with it and did more damage than they possibly, thought they had.
Yeah.
So I think we bid them £70 on it in the end. And Mark picked it up for me the day before. He'd gone down and had a look. She said, well, if you come back tomorrow, my husband will have it in bits and then we'll get it in the car for you. He went back the next day. The guy just chucked it in his car. He was ready to go. And then he sent me a picture and said, I've got it. So that was it. That was the minute we decided we were going down there. And it was literally 10 minutes after he'd messaged me. I'd got Callum up, got the sleep apnea machine all packed up. And we were in the car going. And, it was got back here. It was bright yellow. It was disgusting. And it was about half an inch thick in rust. And everybody was saying, well, Mark was saying, you're not going to get that back up and running. He said, the bed's knackered. But it didn't take long to clean the bed off. Literally just, it was a quick scraping. And then I was lucky enough to get hold of a friend's engineering long bars. And we sat it on the top, both sides, and it was perfectly level. There was no dips, no nothing in it. So I went, we'll go with that. There's one tiny little piece on there where the rust had eaten in, but it doesn't affect the working of the tailstock. So yeah, I was okay with it. Rebuilt it, repainted it. New bearings,
green.
New
color
everything.
Green, purple.
I don't know if I'm at liberty to say. Blue.
I'm glad I'm wearing the right color today. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a nice project to get to see how it all ran inside. I would have kept that lathe if. I'd always said I wanted the Coronet Herald, and when the chance came up to have Jamie's off him, I just went, I'd be a fool not to.
Grey lathe.
Brilliant lathe, isn't it? But I couldn't live with that green on it either, so that got stripped down and repainted as well. It's white and blue.
I mean, it's inevitable, right? it still surprises me. You turn up in a car with it that's any other color than blue.
It's blue. it's becoming a bit of a. My friend doesn't realize that we've got three estates that are all blue, and was only shocked when he said, hold on a minute. I'm sure this one was bigger the other day. I said, yeah, that was a 307. This is a 206.
Mr. Page refers to it as the Papa Smurfmobile.
Yes. But, talk, you know.
Talk to us about Battle of the Makers. I mean, who's your partner on Battle of the Makers, and how well are you getting on?
That's the esteemed Wayne the Woodturner. I mean, what Wayne don't know, I ain't got a clue of knowing. So, yeah, I just have to defer to Wayne most of the time. But then I have noticed that there's a distinct lack of any decent musical questions, because I think I was a bit too keen the first couple of times they came up.
Oh, someone's went, well, none of them.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve hadn't even finished asking the question and answered it, and I think he went, no, nah, we're not having this.
We'll have to reduce the number of them. You guys have been, what, this is, how many have there been this year? Who's winning? If you don't know, you want to tell us what Battle of the Makers is?
Battle of the Makers, yeah, just a couple of teams, two on each team. There's an adjudicator, Terry. There's Steve, the questionnaire question master, and then we've got Joe and Brian on one team, and me and Wayne on the other. And it's basically a bit of general knowledge. There's a fastest finger first round at the end, but there's about I think it's about eight rounds in total. And I like that. Come on. Well, maybe a bit like that.
Is there any bribery goes on? I mean, because I mean, Terry has a reputation of being partial to a Toblerone.
There is, but the trouble is, I mean, how can I bribe Terry with a Toblerone?
You know,
I can't let them things go. It'd be a crime.
How does it work? How does the show work? How does Battle of the Makers work? And you know, I mean, how does that work? And
there's
and,
a coin toss before the live. There's a coin toss. You have two sets of questions, and obviously, you pick from the set of questions. The team captain does, which obviously in our scenario is Wayne, and then you get to choose whether you go first or second. And then it's basically they'll ask four or five questions in the first round, and then they go over to the other team, ask four or five questions there. And there's a lot of rivalry goes on around that, you know, when there's a round where there's nil points. Brilliant, you know what I mean? Unless it's us, in which case, heartbreaking. But whoever gets the nil points gets ripped about it.
Is there an alcohol limit on the show, or is there an alcohol upper limit or lower limit on the show? There's a rumor. Nope. There's a rumor in the chat that, you know, I mean, staying sober to the end of it is quite challenging.
I'll let you know if that ever happens. let's. The first time it happened, we had no idea how long it was going to last. So I thought. Not wanting to, you know, appear like, you know, I'm just sitting there drinking constantly. I thought the clever idea would be to get two same shaped pint glasses, mix my rum and coke in them, bring them in, and put them both here and drink from one alternatively. So it went down at a sort of equal level, and nobody, of course, would know. But then the first one took a lot longer than anybody expected, and they were long gone. Polly stuck her head through the soundproof door. That's her term for it, not mine. She stuck her head through and she said, "Do you want another one?" I went, "Oh yes, please." So I quietly
left both
under camera, asked her both, and then went just one. Right. To which point she comes walking back in, not attempting to hide them from the camera, walks in with both of them, and sticks the rifle. So I nailed them. And then I think after that, I fell into a hangout.
Hangout or hangover?
Inebriated somewhat.
I think I fell into a hangout with a few of the lads. And then I think I went into another. I think it was about 3 o'clock in the morning before I went to bed.
Mr. Clasper would suggest that the alcohol limit is extendable.
Depending on whether my personal barmaid is here to serve me, it's definitely extendable. If I've got to get up halfway through, it ain't happening.
So from the when's the next Battle of the Makers?
Unsure at the moment. There hasn't been anything set hard and fast, but it's normally towards the end of the month. So I would
watch out for last week of the month kind of thing.
I would be thinking it'd be the last weekend of November.
All going well.
Where could folk find that if they were they've not come across it before and they want to find it?
SK Crafts, SK and then Crafts with a K. It's on his channel, and like I say, it's the last Friday of a month usually, providing everybody's in you know, good working order. We'll get together and have a right old time, to be fair.
Steve Cavell, talented, capable wood turner, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Outstanding builder, genuine good guy. Strange taste in Land Rovers, though.
That Harlequin bowl he posted today.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, check it. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Very nice. It's great work.
Yeah, real attention grabber.
My little heckler in the chat is suggesting it's the only way I can get a question right when I get drunk. We'll ask Steve that. He can be the judge of that at some point.
Talking of attention grab, we're getting close to the hour for the kind of the main show at the moment. So we normally sort of towards this sort of time start thinking about things that have been grabbing our attention, either something we've done recently or are about to do, or something we've watched or read or seen on TV or whatever. It doesn't really matter. So
there's an obvious one. There's an obvious one, Andy, for on this one. I think it's got to be the fact that there's quite a few of us in the community looking forward to next week's shenanigans at Harrogate.
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't heard that Harrogate's going on and you're in the Maker community, you'd have had to have been almost without internet for more than a month.
More than a month. Definitely more than a month.
More than a month, I'm telling you.
If it was a little bit further south, and I'd been earning a little bit more money this last month, so definitely been kind of looking at, sort of thinking, I wish I could.
It is a bit of a trek, I must admit, but I'm genuinely looking forward. I wasn't even going to go last year. I don't class myself as a woodworker of any way, shape, or form, but bad week at work and a few other things. I hadn't booked the tickets. I wasn't going to go. And then bad week at work. And I just thought, it's my Saturday off. I'm going to have a Saturday off. So I went in, checked what we hadn't overbooked on work, and then just booked myself down for the Saturday off and decided to go to Harrogate, almost spur of the moment. And I had an absolute whale of a time. So this year I decided I'm going for the Friday. I'm going for the Saturday for definite. And we may well do the Sunday as well. I've booked the hotel. So let's go and see what it's like. Because a lot of people said that the Friday is one of the best days, and I'm like, I'm owed holiday, I'll go and do it. And Polly needs a break, so she's going to come with me this year.
Oh, cool!
Be a nice weekend away.
But the Friday, that's it's actually the show is on Friday as well, isn't it? That's
show's Friday, show Saturday, and show Sunday. Yeah,
it's not like Maker Central where kind of Friday is the. Yeah, meet up in the evening because it's kind of
the meet and greet.
It's a proper show. It's a proper woodworking show with proper woodworkers and proper wood and proper tools. And, you know, it's in Yorkshire, but you can't have everything right.
Yeah, but it's Harrogate. That's posh Yorkshire, isn't it?
I mean, it's posh Yorkshire. I mean, there's no ecky thump flat caps. You know, in Yorkshire.
Hold on. Allegedly. Allegedly, it can't be that posh because it's letting the riffraff like me up there. So come on,
I mean, it's letting the Scots invade from up here, kind of thing. So I mean, it's not on, really, is it?
Yeah, I mean, them Scots ain't too picky. They let me over the border and everything.
Yeah, best because you bought all the pies, mate.
Yeah, straight up to the Douglas Bakery. Come on, here we go.
Yeah,
but. But I do think it'll be a great weekend for that. Be good.
Probably me. That's a very tough one.
Well, what do you think about like, just for those who might be wondering, Jamie's not here. Jamie wasn't feeling too great. He's been burning the candle at both ends too much, work and family stuff and whatever, and he basically needs to take better care of himself, so just not really up to it. So Dale thankfully stepped in at the last minute, literally
had to put my pants on.
Yeah,
I'm on a show kind of thing. I'd like to, I mean, it was literally put me pants on. Kind of well, American pants, style pants
are optional. I mean,
no. I've got to walk from the house. It's cold outside.
Oh, true. That's more understandable now. No, I understand now. Who's wearing pants?
It's only 150 yards saunter at most. Come on,
it's only 70. I mean,
he's not overlooked by any of his neighbours. Yeah, no. You need to get a bit more adventurous. Go skipping across next time.
perhaps when it's like a case of parts of my anatomy won't shrink to the point of being completely unobservable kind of thing. You know, I mean, possibly is the reason. You know, we may do that on a warm summer's day kind of thing where you only need a magnifying glass.
But then you're at risk of midges, aren't you?
You know, I mean, native kind of thing. I don't get bit.
I didn't get bit this year, but last year, I did. I got bit a few times, but they seem to have bloomed last year rather than when we were there this year.
We did a lot of work this year to kill them off early in the season. I mean, that's what we did. You know, it definitely helps. You know, I mean, if you get on top of it about March and you stay on top of it, you keep them under control.
Yeah.
Napalm? Oh, yeah.
There's various chemistries that work really well in midges, that work in mosquitoes kind of thing. So if you're getting them early, they don't tend to congregate where you don't want them to, you know. And we're the grass is shorter and that helps. When the grass is short, they just don't come out really. It's fine. Sort of thing.
It was genuinely this year was a lot less. Yeah. I was waiting for it. I'd gone up and got the old stuff just in case I needed, you know, to slather the bites in it, you know, the TCP and the Savlon. But no, didn't even get bit this year. I was on happy days.
The rain may have helped a wee bit too. Yes, it's right. You know, definitely more of a swimming pool party this year.
Barbecue.
I need to build one of them. That's what I'll do next year. I'll build a swimming pool. You know, that's what we'll do. No, this week is we finished the roof and the corridor, the glass roof corridor. You know, I mean, so anyone that's been watching Facebook and a couple of other places, I post that you'll see some pictures of the roof starting to take shape, which is 3.5 meter by 1 meter glass skylight going over the corridor. It's a fairly meaty sort of thing, but yeah, we're doing that kind of thing. So we don't know if we're going to Harrogate. We'll see. You know, 3.5 meter by 1 meter glass skylights are expensive, so we'll see. Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Nice to catch up with everybody, but hey. Other than that, not a lot.
But you're expecting a delivery soon, though, aren't you? Which we did kind of mention.
Well, I was kind of keeping that for next week a wee bit.
We'll keep that for next week. Yeah, because that's something else. You're going to be back next week because we're going to group chat.
Yeah.
Talking about AI and make it.
Yeah.
So you lot are going into the artificial intelligence. Way above my head. Way above my head. I haven't even got normal intelligence, so artificial, no. If they're doing a transplant, though, can I have some?
I'll tell you, with the guests we got on, I'm going to be well out of my league.
Just for giggles for next week, I've been training one to try and do scroll saw pictures. Do the pattern. So you can generate the pattern kind of thing, you know, just something you want, describe the pattern and see if it will draw it for you. So far, it's turning out okay. We'll see how it works out.
Oh. something to look forward to.
See, I tried using one of the AIs that kind of the freely available ones to try and create an image of a sculpture that I want to do, and didn't get very close. Did not get anywhere close.
DALL-E is your friend.
I was using DALL-E.
Really?
Yeah. Because whether I just not. It's the prompt game, isn't it?
If you don't know. Be descriptive and animated and take the time.
I was trying to, but no, I wasn't getting
a friendship. I wanted to buy a dinner. It works.
I always thank you when I'm using AI, but it didn't.
I have got an American friend, Sandra, who's been using the AI for drawing, etc., and she's put out some fantastic. I was gobsmacked, and then she'd done some cars for people, American muscle cars, and I went, I want something like that, but blue, and didn't disappoint me at all. So I can see that there's a market for it, definitely.
We've been some good stuff.
We've been posting stories of Clive the Westie and various pictures done in a Disney Pixar style, kind of all over the place. It's just gone down a rabbit hole, completely distracted as usual. So as all the best tech should do to you. But yes, so we'll see what happens next.
Well, my attention mostly this last week has been about decluttering. My wife's been on holiday.
Hang on. I mean, obviously, Jamie's, kind of busy, but where's the real Andy Pugh? I mean, Andy Pugh and clutter and, Tinkery just kind of...
Well, just go behind. It hasn't extended that far yet. But apparently, just barely being able to get into the loft is not a good thing.
Right. Is that not normal, then?
Well, apparently it's normal for us, but apparently it's not a good thing.
It's quite normal for me.
And we've
how much is yours? How much is your good ladies? And how much of the girls' stuff is up there?
The fact we've still got actually most of their toys from. No, actually, not all.
Go and check them out. Go and check them out.
There's a lot of Lego. There's a lot of Lego up there.
Don't ever sell the Lego. But go find those kids' toys. See if they're in good enough condition to put on eBay and make a fortune.
Especially if they're Fisher Price. The old Fisher Price stuff has done some strange things.
Fisher Price telephone is worth ridiculous money. The old wooden Fisher Price telephone.
I don't think we've got any Fisher Price stuff. We've got some. We've got quite a lot.
Your Windows XP. That looks like Fisher Price.
We've got a lot of Playmobil.
Okay,
but it seems like there's at least one's downstairs now. But there was a box. You see my Instagram post this week. There's been a few things, kind of old things, popping up on my Instagram, and it's stuff like I had a box of stuff. My dad died over 20 years ago, and there was a box of stuff that kind of came from his house. Some of which was stuff from 18th birthday keys and things like that that were mine. That have been in this box in the loft for 20 years. Because for the first few years, I just didn't want to tackle it. I didn't want to look at it. Too many kind of.
I'm not getting rid of that. It reminds me of him.
It was like, right, no, I'm going to take it out. I want to deal with it. And it's 20 years now since he passed on. It's a lot longer since my mum passed on. And so, it's been easier. And there's some stuff. There's I've had a few messages from my sister sort of saying, do you want this? Because I don't want it anymore. And there's stuff that's just like, I don't need a plastic key in a crappy celebration box. Little clear plastic box that came from, one of the card shops from, when I was 18. And it's faded. The plastic is brittle from age, and it's just like if it had been solid silver rather than solid ABS, or not even ABS, polystyrene, just hard polystyrene,
Is there though? In the loft, in the attic, as you've been wandering around, and I've got to credit Mr. Page for this one. He wants to know: is do you have my first tinkerage up there?
Little Tony,
it's a fair question. You could see where he's coming from.
Technically, first tinkerage is, as far as I know, still in existence in Plymouth. Second one. So in some respects, this is the third.
Actually, the fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's a Dragon's Den's moment right there. Kind of thing for you, Andy. My first tinkerage. Go on and go to the various individuals and say, "So this is get people into STEM subjects and how to clutter up the house."
I'm pretty sure I still have a hammer that I had when I was about 5. I've definitely still got the fret saw that I had when I was 10.
Okay. So, is that like a metal one or a plastic one or
proper? It's probably a 12-inch fret saw, wooden handle, metal frame.
Okay. So how much damage did you inflict in the beds with that at night?
No, I was very well behaved, and I had a cast iron bed. So,
there's a story there. There's a story there.
I had a cast iron bed, so nothing was going to touch that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I noticed they're very carefully walking around that topic.
I think on that note, I think we'll have the after show. Yeah. Yeah. I want to see the rest of this story. and the other stories that we're going to hear about from Huey, we'll have to sign up for Patreon on patreon.com/makerswaffle in order to hear the rest of the after show. So we will say goodbye to folks, and we'll see you next week for a group chat. So bye, folks.
See you later.
Bye.